All set? Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Commander Andrew Smith, the Commanding Officer of Media Relations for Los Angeles Police Department. We're here to talk about a series of arrests that our Hollywood GED, our gang enforcement detail, did late last week, and a great work we did with the District Attorney's Office. I'll turn it over now to the Chief of Police, Charlie Beck.
Good afternoon, everybody. Last Thursday, we served 21 search warrants and arrested 25 members or associates of MS-13 Hollywood Clique. Today, we're going to give you some of the details of that, but what I really want to tell you, from my point of view, is how important an arrest like this is. Criminal street gangs make their living extorting the weak, extorting those that have no voice in Los Angeles government, extorting people that are hardworking men and women just trying to provide for their families. We had a couple of young officers that became aware of that kind of situation and did a tremendous amount of work with the District Attorney's Office, really turning a common, everyday, mundane tip into a very, very big case that will change part of Hollywood Division for generations. With that, I'm going to bring up Captain B. Grimala, who is the commanding officer of Hollywood area, who is responsible for this operation and the men and women assigned to her gang unit. B.
Thank you very much, Chief. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here for what we consider is a very critical and important operation for Hollywood area. Going back to February of 2012, the Hollywood Gang Enforcement Detail, many of the members standing behind me here today, made some significant contacts with a Mara Salvatrucha 13 gang member, which led to information that many of the most vulnerable community members in the southeast portion of Hollywood area were being extorted by the MS-13 gang. The people that we are calling our victims in this are some of the bravest people that you'll meet within the Hollywood community. So when I use the term victims in the sense of criminal filings, they are. However, when you talk about bravery, not only do they encompass that, but they also were the better half of our community policing effort within that southeast portion of Hollywood. Many of these individuals were vendors within the corridor in the southeast portion of Hollywood, and they were being extorted, asking to pay rent or taxes, and did so in fear for their own safety, their lives, and that of their families. This was going on as far back as 2007. In February of 2012, the gang enforcement detail developed leads and information, verified it through many investigative sources, and were able on March the 14th, which was last Thursday, to culminate, as Chief Beck stated, in the execution of several warrants, which netted each and every member of Mara Salvatrucha 13 that we were looking for at the time of this investigation and took them into custody. When we talk about community policing, we talk about a partnership based on trust. English is a second language in this part of the community, and it was very, very important that the members of the Hollywood Gang Enforcement Detail built a level of trust, not only with the victims, but with witnesses and with the community as a whole. This is an area that has been plagued by Mara Salvatrucha 13 gang members for at least four decades. And for us to make some type of an impact in this area is absolutely significant. What is also very important to underscore here is that it was two police officers that took this investigation at a grassroots level, talking person to person, taking it out of the context of officer versus community member, and taking that relationship and building it into why we are here today. And I'm extremely proud of them and their officers Eddie Guerra and officers Tiffany Eastman. And they were supported by the supervisors, the officer in charge of the gang enforcement detail who's here with me today, Lieutenant Jeff Perkins, and the supervisors Tony Lebedick and Ramiro Cabrera. On the date of March 14th, it's significant to say all of our suspects were taken into custody with the help of many of our city partners, not only the geographic areas of LAPD, Metropolitan Division, but very, very significant partnerships with Department of Children and Family Services, which under the auspices of the MART team, also housed at Hollywood area, dealt with the second wave of victims when we talk about this incident and this operation. When we talk about Operation Protecting the Dream and the title of it, it's not only the dream of the victims who are being extorted, but there were also children involved, children of many of the suspects. And they were also victims in this because they were living in some impoverished conditions, some compromised conditions, and without the partnership in several locations, including 8 children that were taken into protective custody, that would have been our next generation of victims. So it's my thanks to our partners in DCFS, the MART team, that partnered with us that day and made a significant impact on the lives of others as well. At this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to Emilio. Emilio.
Thank you. On behalf of the Department of Children and Family Services and our director, Philip Browning, we want to thank Chief Beck, his command structure, and all the fine men and women of LAPD. The multi-agency response team for the Department of Children and Family Services responds to 3 types of operations. They respond to warrant service, parole, probation sweeps, and intelligence-sensitive investigations. During the course of this particular operation, we were requested to respond to 4 homes in which we took 8 children into protective custody. They range from the ages of 0 to 12 years old. There was a criminal nexus to MS-13. They requested our presence. We were available, and we responded to conditions that were not suited for these 8 minors. They did not come from homes that had weapons in particular or narcotics at this time, but they were open, open investigations that were part of that investigation, but more on the issue of neglect, suitable on conditions for those children. One of them did include a 5-year-old minor that we did have to take to the hospital for neglectful issues, but that child is fine, and all the other children are doing well and in protective, suitable homes.
Great, thanks. And that was Emilio Mendoza. He'll be around to answer some questions in the end. We also have a Spanish speaker available at the end. But before we finish, I'd like to bring up the officer who really got this whole ball rolling from the Hollywood Gang Enforcement Detail, Officer Eddie Guerra.
Sir. Well, good afternoon to everyone here. What I would like to, I guess, say to everyone is that the real heroes today are going to be the victims and also the community that actually trusted us. I could not be more proud on this day to be a Los Angeles police officer and to also be surrounded by a unit that honestly everyone came together and was able to put this dream together so that the community as a whole could have some peace. So thank you all very much for being here today.
Thanks, Eddie. Again, I said we had Spanish speakers, but we have a few minutes to answer some questions if anybody has anything, and let me know who you want to direct it to, the MART team, which is from DCFS, or Officer Guerra, or Chief, or
so
Big Mom.
20 people were in court yesterday. The other 5, are they being held on probation?
My understanding is the other 5 were already in custody for other issues, so we grabbed the ones that were still out, and the rest of them were already in custody on other issues.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Eddie. When you were first approached by this thing, I mean, you know as well as I do, it's very difficult for those people down there to come forward. And as named in your indictment yesterday, I mean, they were threatening to kill these people if they didn't go on. What was that initial contact like with those people? How did you earn their trust to go ahead?
I actually grew up in this city, and we know about this issue. And our biggest hurdle is always getting the community and the victims to trust us. And at some point, we were able to meet one of the main victims that was actually with us during the whole operation for the whole year. And he said that when he met our entire team, that he knew that we were different officers, that it was a different era, and that we were really here for the right reason. And it took a little bit to earn his trust and to let him know that we were going to be able to do something along with the cooperation and the support of our captain as well. And once we were able to gain that trust, he was on board to be able to see this through.
How scary was it for him?
He's actually very scared, but he says that this is going to be a legacy that he's going to leave for his community on something that he came to this country with a dream. And he says that even though his face will not be known and no one will actually know who he is at some point, but he knows that through his efforts, the entire community is going to be better for it. We've actually had this relationship now for over a year.
I was just going to ask something about there was an MS-13 gang member that you got information from at the beginning. Who were saying that?
Yes, Eddie, you want to talk about that? The injection?
Yes, we actually had an arrest with a gang member going back to February for a gang injunction in Mara Salvatrucha. And throughout that investigation, when we were talking to him, he actually told us about information that we already know, but he gave more specifics as to what gang was collecting from what truck, what gang was collecting from the other. So that, along with our sergeants challenging us and telling us, you know what, do something with it, let's see what we can do to change the community, we ran with it, and we never expected it to be of this magnitude.
So first the victim came forward, and then you had this gang member corroborating.
Correct.
Okay.
Given the two victims named in the indictment, are there more victims out there that we just don't know about?
There are many, many victims, ma'am.
You say dozens? Or?
More than a dozen, ma'am.
One in every.
Do you have an estimate how much money they collect every week?
It varies by each location. Each gang member looks at each location, and depending on how busy they see that location, that's how they will dictate how much money they will get from that lunch truck. Depending on the fear that they instill in the victim, that's also how they will determine what the money is. So it varies from some businesses being as low as 30. Some flower vendors or fruit vendors will maybe $10, $20, but some lunch trucks have been paying up to $80 to $100 a week.
So it's more than food truck operators?
Yes, sir.
I know the Obama administration classified MS-13 as an international crime group. How important is it to get them on actually extortion and that type of thing? You know, they're able to freeze their assets and bureau. How big is that to kind of dismantle the organization?
Well, you have to understand that street gangs are broken up into cliques. This is the Hollywood clique of MS. You know, MS is a gang that has its roots in Los Angeles. Was put together about 40 years ago by El Salvadorian immigrants to protect themselves from other street gangs, and it eventually re-exported itself back to El Salvador, and now it's one of the prominent gangs in El Salvador. You know, this is very important for Hollywood. And it's very important for the people that live in that neighborhood. Now, whether it will affect the transnational nature of MS, that's a whole other issue, you know. But I think that all of these things have to be looked at locally. You know, if you're trying to run a business, you're trying to get your kids to school, you're trying to keep your kids out of gangs, and they're being affected, you want a hand on the local level. You're not worried about international.
Suspects have opted either not guilty to the charges. What would be the best way to prosecute them at this point?
Well, you know that we, every step of the way in this investigation, the district attorney's office has been on board, and you know I hope that we've emphasized that here. You know, we are absolutely confident that with the cooperation of the DA and putting this case together, that we'll have a successful prosecution. You know, and these are the type of crimes that can lead to some very heavy sentences. There are gang enhancements involved. These are gang members who are in Cal gangs. Many of them have other criminal histories, as Claudia pointed out. Some are in custody and other issues already. You know, these are some folks that are going to do some significant time for their actions, which as they should. You know, this is the underbelly of street gangs in many parts of our city. You know, oftentimes this gets lost in the discussion of drive-by shootings and the battles for turf and narcotics and things like that. But this is the bread and butter of making money as a street gang member is extortion.
Can you tell us if you have any videos of this suspects in the middle of transactions?
You know, I'm not going to talk about the specific evidence. The district attorney is going to do a fantastic job putting this case forward, and as the chief, I'm not going to mess it up for him.
Chief, in all candor, 25 years ago, LAPD would have had this news conference and never mentioned the name of MS-13. Is this, and with the old-fashioned thinking that, you know, glorifies the gangs, does this sort of like a turning point in the department's philosophy that now they are going to recognize that these street gangs are in fact organized crime and a much bigger deal than he admitted 25 years ago?
Well, you know, we decided to start naming gangs 6-7 years ago. We came up with the top 10 gang list, and as many of you know, we changed that list based on the amount of crimes committed by various gangs. You know, I have no qualms or fears about naming street gang members. You know, this is what I do for a living.
Can you talk about the threats of force that was actually used on victims?
Well, you know, I think the officers could probably speak better to that, but you know, this is all about intimidation. This is all about the perception of ownership of the street. It's all about who's constantly in a neighborhood, you know, and unfortunately, the Los Angeles Police Department is very small. We are not on every block. And the parts of the city that are most suffer gang activity have gang members on blocks 24/7, and we can only be here so much. That's why this case, that's why I was so proud of this case. That's why you got the chief talking about a local case here, because what the officers did here was they engaged the community. They did it the right way, and believe me, this is. You know, police officers typically work day-to-day cases. This is a long-term investigation, took a lot of resources, took a lot of finesse, took a lot of cooperation from outside agencies, and it's just a really stellar piece of work.
What can the community do to prevent anything like this from happening again?
Cooperate with the police department. You know, come forward. And I think the officer said it very, very well. You know, this takes a hero. It isn't easy to break away from your fears, to break away from your fears of authority. You know, many folks come from countries where authority is feared for good reason, and to overcome that, and to work with young officers in the police department to make a change in the way the neighborhood operates is very significant. So my answer is, you know, let us know if we can work with you. We can make this kind of thing happen in other neighborhoods, but it takes cooperative victims.
Why do you say to an undocumented vendor who in the past they were arrested because they're leaving them the sentence on the street, how you break that and make a liaison between that undocumented illegal vendor and the police in the street?
Well, it's about trust. You know, we can't condone illegal activity, but certainly we understand in neighborhoods that these issues occur. And if somebody is the victim of an extortion, you know, that is a much more serious crime that has a much broader impact on a community than illegal vending. And we would be more than happy to work with any vendor, any victim of extortion in the city of Los Angeles.
Wasn't the LAPD that suggests bail amount of $1 million, which is useless there for murder purposes?
Well, you know, there's a bail schedule, and that's put together by the district attorney and the court. And we follow the bail schedule, and that's what the bail schedule
says. Okay, one more says. Question, this is, and then we'll turn over to Spanish speakers.
Do you take them to be under protective custody, taking into consideration how dangerous this gang is and when he is not?
We'll continue to work with the DA on making sure that the victims are safe and available for court. Well, one more.
Just, yeah, one more for Eddie Guerra.
Ed Quine.
Could you give us an indication of some of the things that were said, the threats that were made, and how serious they were that they made to these vendors?
There were several threats, sir. Some were of killing them, and others of harming them, their locations, their family members, and pretty much just instilling fear on a day-to-day basis with them.
Kill you if you don't.
Yes, sir.
Was
there
no
one
was harmed,
on
though?
Anybody?
What was physical force used on any of the
victims? No, ma'am.
Okay, everybody, we've got a Spanish speaker from DCFS right here, Xiomara Flores-Holguin, and we have Spanish speakers here as well, so I'm sure there's plenty of Spanish speaker questions available.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Stick
thank
around.
You so much.
Can they come up to the plate and make
sure, you want to...